Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for December 13th, 2015. Oyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, I want to tell you about an incident that occurred a couple of days ago that I learned from. We went to the library and we're in the parking lot, a vehicle. This was the first time we took both dogs and we fixed up the area in the back seat area there for the dogs with canvas and so forth. And the vehicle has bucket seats in the front, so and the dogs could maybe access to the front through the bucket, between the bucket seats, but we didn't want the dogs to get into the front area and get fur all over. There are areas in the back. And so we kind of monitor them and make sure they stay in the back. Well, when I parked the car in the parking lot, and as I was getting out, you know, when you stop and you start getting out, the dogs get excited. They think they're going to, you know, they just get excited. And our dog, Easy, he jumped into the front as I was getting out. So I yelled at him. I said, "Hey, you're not supposed to get in front." And so I grabbed him by the collar, and then I it's hard to get him back into the back when he's inside the car. So I grabbed him by the collar, and we got outside, and then I opened the back door, and then I said, "Okay, get in there. Now you stay in the back." And then I was going to go into the library, and I shut the doors, and I started to walk to the library, and there was a lady that was going to the library, and she just happened to be passing by our car. So I knew that she had overheard and witnessed my training of the dog. Now, and I immediately felt kind of embarrassed because when you see a guy that looks like he's mad or, you know, talking with a mean voice, it's kind of scary or intimidating, or say, gee, someone's kind of mean to a dog or animals, their pets, must be a mean guy. And so I was pretty sure I must have gave this impression. Now, I'm not a mean guy, okay? I'm not the classic tormentor of animals or anything like this, but I really felt bad that she had this impression of me. And I thought about it, and I said, well, I don't blame her. You know, you see a strange person, you don't know them, and the guy's acting like that, and so, whoa, I better, you know, steer clear of this guy. You don't feel very warm feelings or, you know, anything like that, or being friendly or courteous, even though I don't know this person, and I probably will never see this person again. It really affected me the whole day. I was thinking about it. I said to myself, I was saying, well, I really reflected and sort of closely at my behavior. And this is what I thought. Well, this not to excuse it, but just or condone my behavior. But you see, when you got an animal pet, the first time they do something you don't want them to do is important. Okay? You got to catch it in the bud. You got to let them know right away. Otherwise, it gets harder to train them. So I was really stern at this first incident. Okay? Dog jumping from the back into the front. Let them know, definitely. No, that's... Okay. And when you mean business, I just assumed you have to be loud. must earn. You mean it. Not necessarily. I mean, some people might have a very low-keyed method in their voice and so forth. And I do know some relatives, brothers-in-law, and so forth, who are very quiet, gentle, even when something hectic is happening. Okay? And they're very soft-spoken. So it is a question of style, I guess. And if I adopted a certain, because I wasn't really mad, okay? But you seem mad. You gotta appear mad in terms of your voice and everything, the loudness and sternness of it. But it is a choice. It's really not necessary. You don't have to say, well, I'm only doing this way, acting this way, to be effective. Is that how I really want to be? I've been this way for a long time, probably. So it's always yelling. And then I was thinking, I don't do that just with the pets. I think I probably do that with my wife. Okay. My dog and my wife are the only ones that I probably act that way toward. I hope that doesn't sound the wrong way. Because with other relatives, friends, acquaintances, and strangers, you'd be much more polite. Okay? The ones that you're with every day, because you're with them every day, you want things to be a certain kind of way. And not just my way, but, you know, smoothly running everyday behaviors and atmosphere and so forth. So you feel that you want to communicate effectively. But at what price? What cost? You start to become that way. If you start acting that way just to meet a certain end, you don't realize it, but that becomes your style. Hey. You don't have to shout. I received a great teaching from that Bodhisattva lady that happened to be walking by. I want to go on to introduce today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. He's Dave Nichio from Illinois. He was part of our Lay Minister LM2 group, an old veteran, I guess you could characterize him. And, you know, when I was talking about every day in my previous comments, I used the word every day, behavior, activities, and so forth. Nichio, his Dharma name, means every day, son. And he requested that name. It's very unusual for a person to have a really keen eye or goal or a preference and request a certain kind of a meaning that they wanted for their Dharma name. But I was very glad to do that. Just like one of my favorite quotes from my father that he liked was, Nichi Nichi Kore Kojitsu. Every day is a good day. Every day, Nichi. So Nichio, everyday son. It means he wants to live the teachings every day. That kind of a meaning, okay, which is very nice. Well, let's have a Dharma glimpse by Dave Nichio. Uh-oh. Dave, are you there?
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the chance to give a Dharma glimpse. There's an economic term called sunk cost, and it refers to a cost that has been incurred and which cannot be recovered. And I've been spending a lot of time thinking about sunk cost lately because it's the holiday season, and I should be starting to practice my favorite Christmas carols on the piano, but I'm not. Instead of the grand piano I usually have, I only have an electronic keyboard. It's a full keyboard, but the keys are slightly smaller than a regular piano. The pedal doesn't work properly. And although the manufacturer claims it has, quote, real feel keys, the piano and I know that it doesn't. This piano's making Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas decidedly unmerry for me. The saga began earlier this year when I decided to buy a condo. I had few real requirements for my new apartment. First, plenty of parking, and since I have two teenage boys who are no different than teenage girls, I wanted three bedrooms and two baths. That and a living room big enough for my grand piano was all I really needed. Everything else was negotiable. I found a place and moved in July. What I didn't think about was that every journey begins with the first step, and the first step in my new place was up a staircase that wasn't wide enough to accommodate my piano. So mid-move, when I no longer could stay in my old apartment, I realized that my prized piano was not going to fit into the new place. My options were limited to selling it or taking out a window along with a few rows of bricks and have the movers come back with a hoist and bring it through a kitchen window. My immediate options were fewer. Put it in storage or put it in storage, since putting it out on the curb wasn't really an option. So I put it in storage where it's remained, which is where the sunk costs come in. I've been deliberating over whether to sell the piano or bring it through the window in spring. My primary concern is that I won't get as much money back as I paid for the piano. It's an uncommon manufacturer that was well known in the UK and provided pianos to many of the conservatories there. But it's not common here, and when I bought the piano, its cabinet was in need of restoration. My plan was always to restore the cabinet later because it played so beautifully and had such a wonderful tone to it. So when my cats would sleep across the top of the piano or in on the strings, I didn't worry too much, even when one put a long scratch across the keyboard cover. But now that I am forced to sell the few thousand dollars this might cost, it caused me second thoughts. But the money I paid for the piano is a sunk cost. Not technically, because I might recover a portion of it when I sell the piano. But the lost value is a sunk cost in my mind, and rationally I should just sell it and buy a nice upright which would cost less and could be moved in without additional cost. But I succumb to what is known as the sunk cost fallacy. The belief that because I have this cost, I need to do something to justify it. Like pay a few thousand dollars to remove a window and use a hoist to move the piano in, and pay the same to move it back out again later when I sell the condo just to cover my equal or smaller current loss. But more disturbing is that I have succumbed to emotional sunk costs, or more specifically, the emotional sunk cost fallacy, which is far more dangerous and at the root of many bad decisions. The emotional sunk cost fallacy is believing that because I've gotten so much pleasure from playing this piano that I can't replace it, that I can't get the same satisfaction from another more practical piano. And this is the genesis of my Dharma glimpse, even though it's actually been the result of much protracted anguish, more of a gawk than a glimpse. And although I have a false sense of loyalty to my piano, it is conversely as easy or easier to get hung up on injuries from the past and do things out of spite. I would gladly sell the electronic keyboard or even give it away because it does more to frustrate me than bring enjoyment. But when people harm us, we hang on to that emotional cost. That rat, I can't forgive that. He doesn't deserve it. With emotional sunk costs, not only have you already paid, but you keep on paying, and we do. So I finally decided to sell the piano. But before I sell it, I'm going to do what I should have done every time I played it. Say thank you, piano. Gosho. P.S., let me know if you want to buy a piano. Thanks. Gosho.
Thank you. Wow, that's great. You know, when we have an incident, specific incident that we experience, to see the wider general Dharma teaching there, you know, it's because what's being learned or what the teaching is not just limited to the specific event, It affects us as a person. Okay? And we carry that around, and it transfers. It becomes, you know, part of us. So no matter what situation we go into, you know, we bring it with us. So as I was listening to the Dharma glimpse, I thought about, you know, how true it is that we need to justify, we need to rationalize, we need to, in the name of effectiveness, I'm going to do this. I mean, I act like this. Or in the name of honesty, then sometimes we talk bluntly and hurt, you know, talk, use negative speech. You know, when somebody says, well, you know, to be honest, when they say that, you know something not so good is coming next. Try to give ourselves a license, you know, a little permit that says, okay, I got permission to act like this because in the name of honesty, in the name of efficiency, in the name of one of my father's favorite quotes was sufficiency, not efficiency. And even though this is sort of an awkward phrase, what was meant was sufficiency means, you know, just do enough to get the job done. You don't need to go overboard in terms of precision, in terms of the way you might want to force something to be, because in the actual situation, there are a lot of factors involved, meaning other people's feelings and so forth. So you have to maybe not do it the most efficient way in order to accommodate the softness or the round vibes that are in the situation. Because, this, you know, I think most of us premium on efficiency, because if you do something not in the most efficient way, that reflects on your intelligence, right? And no one wants to feel that they're dumb. Maybe dumb is too strong of a word, but, you know, they're not efficient. You waste time. You waste effort. You're not being smart. So in the name of that, then we don't suffer fools lightly. We get impatient with those who don't do it right. would you rather be happy, content, calm, rather than being right, being efficient? Do you have to justify the loss because losing money and this kind of thing is not being efficient? Do you forget what's truly important just because you want to deal with these other economic factors or efficiency factors? What's the priority in your values here? Okay. Humans, they say, there's a saying, human beings are not rational beings. They're rationalizing beings. We project so much and say, oh, that's the way the world is, huh? That's the way we are. Indeed, indeed. Thank you very much. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful day. Thank you.